Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. Tomorrow, recreational use of marijuana becomes legal in Canada. Joining us to explain how that's going to work and what it might mean for Americans is Doug Schmidt with the Windsor Star. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Now, I understand the rules are different for each province. What are the main restrictions for buying pot in Ontario?
Well, we had a new government that was elected this past summer, and so they put the brakes on the previous plan, and the issue now is starting tonight at midnight, you can purchase recreational marijuana online in the province of Ontario, but in terms of bricks and mortar outlets where you can go and purchase, you know, show up in person and purchase your own pot, that's not going to happen until next spring. So that's the biggest difference, and that's sort of what Ontario is going to be doing different than other places.
What's the age limit?
19.
And I understand that once they start building brick-and-mortar outlets, it's going to be a lot like the beer store in Ontario, and you buy beer from the state. You'll be buying pot from the state as well, correct?
Well, when the bricks and mortar start, there's going to be a single distributor, which is the provincial government, but then these outlets are going to be private enterprise, but they have to purchase all the pot that they're going to be selling to the customer and clients must be sourced from the province.
Okay. So what are the local police in Windsor telling you about how they'll enforce the restrictions?
Local police, they're kind of like, at least in Windsor, very reluctant to enforce this. The rules are still being established. One of the biggest problems is driving under the influence, and there's no, you know, it's not like breathalyzers where you breathe into an apparatus and it says you have this much alcohol in your system. With pot, it's different. Pot gets taken up by the fat in the body, so it gets released over a longer time, but then there's that active period. So police say they're going to be looking for people like that, but in terms
harder to measure, though, right? Because there's not the equipment to do it right on the spot.
There is equipment, but it
it's not reliable, let's put it that way.
They're not picking up on it because They say it's not incredibly accurate.
So does this mean someone from Michigan can cross the border and eventually go to a local weed dispensary and buy?
Eventually, yes. It's legal in Canada, so it'll be no different than tourists going to Amsterdam. And up until now, you can come over here and buy your pot and consume it. With the Americans, though, you cannot take it across the border.
I'm wondering if you consume it, how soon you should even try to cross the border, because that sounds like it could lead to a lot of problems, too.
Definitely. If you're under the influence, you're going to be in trouble. And, I mean, currently we've heard of Canadians who, you know, when they're crossing the border, if they get pulled aside for secondary inspection, they get follow-up questions. And one of the questions can be, have you ever consumed pot? And if you reply in the affirmative, even though, you know, it's maybe your college days decades ago, that could be grounds for you being prevented from crossing the border. So there's that.
Oh, sure, if you're a Canadian citizen but not a U.S. citizen.
If you're an American, they can't prevent you from returning home. However, if you're one of those frequent flyers across the border who has a nexus permit, they can pull that out. They can withdraw that so that you can lose that status. I don't think it would affect a lot of people, but certainly anyone whose work takes them back and forth over the border regularly, they have those nexus permits, and you could lose that.
I'm wondering, this sounds more and more like the days of Prohibition when Canada had alcohol and the U.S. didn't, and it seemed to find its way across the border. Are Canadian officials watching for some smuggling via midnight boats and so forth?
Canadians won't be, but the Americans sure would be.
You know, Michigan has a proposal on the ballot to legalize recreational use of marijuana. And if that passes, I assume there are a lot of the same issues because the border is controlled by the federal government and is still illegal according to the federal government. Do you think everyone understands that there's not going to be this free flow of pot back and forth?
I don't think it's fully understood that way. Coming this way, it shouldn't be an issue because, you know, federally we'll have it legal. But, yeah, there is that U.S. federal law that comes between the state and the province that will be an issue when it comes to travelers.
That's Doug Schmidt with the Windsor Star. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now that Canada is legalizing recreational use of marijuana, there are a lot of unanswered questions about Canadians crossing the border into the U.S. Joining me now is Canadian Member of Parliament Brian Massey. He represents Windsor in the House of Commons, and he's concerned that there's no agreement or policy or even a meeting between the two countries about this issue. Why do you think this might be a problem?
Well, you're going to have a number of individuals who will cross and potentially inadvertently have cannabis either, you know, residue or materials, paraphernalia, that could be accidentally in the vehicle. It could be old charges or old issues that may raise concerns or suspicions. So what I'm looking for is more of an adult conversation about what takes place. Today, there's breaking news about a Canadian soldier who served in Afghanistan, even with the U.S., who's detained in the U.S. He has a previous criminal conviction in which he was pardoned in Canada. He happened to be with somebody when they sold marijuana, basically for recreational use, to some undercover officer. He's been in the U.S. many times. He still is there right now. He's currently detained. We don't even know where he is, because he wants to get a green card, long story short, to marry one of your American citizens, and now he's been detained by your Border Patrol, and they can't even find where he is right now. So you have these kind of situations taking place, and they're one-offs are left to people figure out, and that's just not healthy for any of us.
So the big deal here, in my mind, is the number of commuters who go back and forth across the bridge or the tunnel from Windsor to Detroit for work. You know, if they, as you mentioned, happen to have a little debris in the car or perhaps even own shares in a marijuana company, are they at risk of a lifetime ban on travel to the U.S.?
So there was recently another statement by your country with the United States saying that if you have shares or investing, as long as it's not going over to the United States for business, then you should be fine. But the reality is we've seen some very different decisions made related to that have led to problems. And the issue that we have is about making sure that, you know, when mistakes take place, they're vetted. The reality is that, you know, I've met with your officials in Washington, and they're very clear, and I accept that the United States, this is a controlled substance. It is a drug similar to that consideration of cocaine, heroin, anything else crossing the border. But the reality is that we are going to have people inadvertently get caught up into this, and that can have very big, significant consequences on our economy, on your tourism, on a number of different things. And so it's about an education process on the Canadian side to make sure that we weed out, no pun intended, all those accidental problems. But also, too, is having those conversations about previous, you know, people that may perhaps have, you know, done something when they were 16 or 17, and we have some of them. Say, for example, a truck driver who's never had a criminal record afterwards that now is now seen as a person of suspect or concern, who's delivering just-in-time materials for auto industry that make us both successful on both sides of the border, doesn't become a target and slow down our economic production because simply of a perceived or a practice that's so hard-lined it doesn't really deal with the reality is that they've had, you know, something when they were 17, but now when they're 50s and they have no criminal record, are part of our economy and making ourselves weak and compete with other countries.
The U.S. Customs and Border Protection is planning a news conference tomorrow about Canadian legalization of marijuana and what travelers from Canada should be aware of. What do you hope to hear in that news conference?
Well, I hope we hear rules that are very clear and going to be practiced on a very much a predictable level. I think that would be very helpful. The United States has every right to decide how it wants to deal with this and accept that. But if we want to really, frankly, be, you know, real about this, is that there's 10,000 Canadians that, you know, and Americans that go back and forth amongst our border for our economy, for us to be successful, not only just the Windsor-Detroit region, but also Sarnia, Fort Huron, and other places across Ontario and Michigan and New York, that we need good standard rules and models to be in place so that we can continue to be successful as economies. And also our families and our friends, it's what makes us so strong together, is this cultural and social and business involvement that happens on a personal level, not a political level. So I'm hoping what they're going to say is that these are the things that we're going to be looking for. These are things that are unacceptable, and do not even attempt to try that. If you do, these are the consequences. But at the same time, we don't see these other extreme cases like the one I'm mentioning right now, where a former Afghanistan veteran from the Canadian Forces can't even be found in the United States right now, who happened to be by somebody during a bust. and has served with the United States.
Let me interrupt you because I want to get to this last question while we still have time.
Yep.
Why hasn't this issue been brought up until now? I mean, it seems like during the negotiation of the USMCA or NAFTA 2.0, it might have been an opportunity to work out some kind of agreement because, I mean, tomorrow pot is legal in Canada and we have no ground rules.
Yeah, no, we had not only just, you know, ignored the elephant in the room, the elephant died, and basically its rotting carcass is there, and we just pretended it wasn't happening. And that's the reality that we're going to face with tomorrow, is that both countries could have worked out some more procedural elements with regards to this, but we didn't. And that's one of the things I have a criticism of current agreement that we're looking at with regards to trade and changing NAFTA, is that we didn't even deal with a whole bunch of issues related to the practical elements of the border. And I think many of us in our region understand that.
Canada's change in the law. Is it Canada's fault that this wasn't brought up?
I think there's a good part of responsibility on the Canadian government to do that. And I think it was our onus to continue to press upon that. And I think that the reality is that the U.S. is in a situation where many states are diverging from the federal government, and there's a tug of war with regards to power there, but that doesn't take away from our responsibility. So I would argue that the onus of the responsibility is on the Canadians because we're changing that relationship. At the same time, there's been a lot of U.S. requests with more data, information, and other things on the border. Basically, it almost doesn't matter whose fault it really is. We both got to get our heads together around this, because if we make our border thicker and have more problems, then we're not going to be able to compete and we'll lose jobs.
Brian Massey is a member of Parliament in Canada. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.